The Lord be with you.
With your
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus spoke to the crowd about the kingdom of God, and he healed those who were needed to be cured. As the day was drawing to a close, the 12 apostles said to him, "Dismiss the crowd, so that they may go to the surrounding villages and farm and find lodging and provisions, for we are in a deserted place here." He said to them, "Give them some food yourself." They replied, "Five loaves and two fish are all we have, unless we ourselves go and buy food for all these people." Now, the men there numbered about 5,000. Then he said to the disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50. They did so and made them all sit down. Then taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing over them, broke them, and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. They all ate and were satisfied. And when the leftover fragments were picked up, they filled 12 wicker baskets." The Gospel of the Lord.
The Gospel today is a foreshadowing of the celebration of the Mass, also called the Eucharist. In the Eucharist, we are given not just what we need spiritually, but much more than we need, which is what those 12 wicker baskets of leftover food is meant to symbolize. As Catholics, we believe that after the Eucharistic prayer has been prayed over the gifts of bread and wine, that they are transformed, or in our language, transubstantiated into the body and blood of Christ. We do not believe that they are symbols of Christ's body and blood at that point, but that they really do become the actual body and blood of the Son of God and the Son of Mary. Now, to most of you, I hope, this may sound like me trying to teach a second grade catechism class. But we know from surveys that many Catholics have never either heard this or they just don't believe it. If you are one of those people, please listen carefully today. It is not an accident that the term the body of Christ refers both to Holy Communion and to the Catholic people who attend Mass together. It was St. Paul, after all, who called us as a people the body of Christ. And this is because of what the Church has claimed about what happens at Mass. And what is that? Well, just before the second part of the Mass, a collection is taken up and then brought up to the altar along with gifts of bread and wine. I'm sure you've noticed this. Why do we bring them up from the back of the church? So that the procession of gifts passes through where all of you are sitting. Wouldn't it be quicker just to have them up here already, the bread and the wine? We do this because the gifts that are being brought up, bread, wine, and money in this case, are supposed to symbolize us, in a sense. They are supposed to symbolize the offering of ourselves, our lives, to God. In fact, in the early church, you would have brought wine and bread to Mass that you made in your own home as part of feeding your family. So in those days, the symbolism was even stronger, that the bread and wine stood for you. When those gifts are placed on the altar, in a sense we are putting all of our hopes and fears and sins and daily crosses, our very selves, on this altar. Then during the Eucharistic prayer, God's Spirit transforms both a people into the body of Christ and bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ, in different ways for each, of course. Many people are aware of our teaching that bread and wine are changed into the body and blood of Christ. Fewer people seem to know that the Church claims there is another transformation that happens alongside of that, which is that you and I as a group of people are slowly being changed into what Paul called the body of Christ, Sunday after Sunday, as we attend Mass, that we are being slowly transformed by our reception of the Eucharist. Now, actually, that sounds like a pretty good reason to come to Mass, doesn't it? Now, I said that we are being changed into the body of Christ. Well, what does that mean? It means that we are transformed into a group of people where Christ can live out his life through us, through how we live in the world. Christ begins to live out his life through our actions, if we let him. And this is so because we have made him the very center of our lives and have taken him into our bodies. If you have not heard of this before, allow me to present some quick quotes and some anecdotes from the tradition of the Church concerning these two transformations, beginning with Vatican II and working back to the beginning. So this is from a document from the Second Vatican Council called Lumen Gentium. And it says this: taking part in the Eucharistic sacrifice, the source and summit of the Christian life, the faithful offer the divine victim to God and themselves along with it. And so it is that both in the offering and in Holy Communion, each in his own way has his own part to play in the liturgical action. Then, strengthened by the body of Christ in the Eucharistic communion, they manifest in a concrete way that unity of the people of God, which this holy sacrament aptly signifies and admirably realizes. Now, that was back in the 1960s. So let's push it back, let's say 1,500 years before that, skipping over what led to Vatican II, back to the time of St. Augustine, who lived around the year 400 AD. And he says this in one of his sermons: if you wish to understand the body of Christ, listen to the apostle who says to the believers, "You are the body of Christ and his members." And there he's quoting from 1 Corinthians 12. And then he goes on: and thus, if you are the body of Christ and his members, it is your mystery which has been placed on the altar of the Lord. You receive your own mystery. You answer amen to what you are, and in answering, you accept it. For you hear the body of Christ, and you answer amen. Be then a member of Christ's body, so that your amen may be true. Now let's push it back another century or two to the first centuries of the Church. Are you aware that Christians were often accused by the Romans of being cannibals because of what we taught about the Eucharist? Even though Christianity was illegal at this point, every so often our teachings would leak out to the people around us, in this case the Romans. So the Romans heard that we claimed to be eating the body of a man named Jesus, who died a couple of hundred years ago at that point. So the Romans accused us of being a group of cannibals, which made them hate us that much more. So let's push it back a bit further to the year 150. A man named Justin Martyr, who was a professional philosopher and ran a debate school in the city of Rome, he wrote an explanation of the faith called the Apology, not as in "I'm sorry," but as in apologetics, where you seek to provide something through your arguments. And by the way, his Apology contained the first extra-biblical description of the Mass as it was being celebrated in that time. If you read his treatise, you will be able to pick out the parts of the Mass as we celebrate them today. Justin also says this: we do not consume the Eucharistic bread and wine as if it were ordinary food and drink, for we have been taught that as Jesus Christ, our Savior, became a man of flesh and blood by the power of the Word of God, so also the food that our flesh and blood assimilates for its nourishment becomes the flesh and blood of the incarnate Jesus by the power of his own words contained in the prayer of thanksgiving. Now let's push it back another 50 or 60 years to the Gospel of John, which we believe was written somewhere between 90 and 100 of the first century. In that Gospel, in the sixth chapter of John, which we Catholics use to point to Jesus' teaching on the Eucharist, Jesus says things in that chapter such as, "The bread that I will give is my flesh, for the life of the world. And my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. And unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you do not have life within you. And remember in that passage that the people that he was speaking to, his own disciples, took great exception to what he was saying. Some of them actually quit following Jesus because of it. But his answer to them was to make the language even stronger and more graphic rather than water it down. So let's push it back now another 50 years to the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, which you heard part of today. We believe that letter was written in the early 40s of the first century, so only about a decade or so after Jesus died and rose. Paul says there, "I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you." And then he quotes from what was being said in the Mass at that point. "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Now, there are some Christians who will say, "But he was speaking metaphorically. Come on." But if you take into account what Jesus said in John chapter 6, it becomes much harder to make that claim. In addition, the Greek word anamnesis, here translated as remembrance, has a whole history behind it that I have talked about before and will again, but not here because of time constraints. My last example is a tradition which was passed down orally for a few hundred years before anyone bothered to write it down. So some scholars have argued about it, but it pushes things back to the crucifixion and the resurrection, and it is very interesting. The night before Jesus dies, they have the Last Supper together. On the table, they put a white tablecloth that had to be of a very specific type because this was a Seder meal to celebrate the Passover, and everything about the Seder meal was regulated. We believe at the end of that meal, Jesus changed the thrust of the meal into what we now call the Mass. And then the next day, Jesus is killed on the cross. But it was the Sabbath, so there were no stores open that could sell them a burial cloth. But here they have this nice big white table covering. So that's what they use to wrap the body in. And they use one of the napkins that were at the table to cover his face. Remember in John's account of the resurrection, the disciples found two burial cloths separate, one for the body and one for the head. The tradition I was speaking of says this: 7 days later, at the celebration of the first Mass, they decided to use the same white cloth as the covering for the altar. In fact, that's where the tradition of putting a white cloth on an altar in a Catholic church comes from. And then the cloth that covered his head was put on top of the larger white tablecloth, which we still do today. And we call that small white cloth the corporal. And that's why we do it, as a hearkening back to this tradition. Now, if this is what really happened, think about this. Given that the cloths were used at the Last Supper and that covered Jesus' dead body, were now being used as the altar covering, what do you think those first Christians thought they were doing at that first Mass? What do you think they thought was going to be the outcome? This cloth that covered Jesus' body was used at the Last Supper now, links everything that happened, and now would receive Jesus' body again at the first Mass. That's the sort of orchestration that God is shown doing throughout the Bible. Perhaps there are some Christians, even some Catholics, who say that it is hard to believe our teaching on the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. However, that would not be the first time that this was ever said. It happened first in John chapter 6, when Jesus first spoke those words. And remember what Jesus did there. He didn't water down what he was saying in an attempt to keep those disciples from leaving him. In fact, he turned to the apostles and said, "Are you going to leave me too?" And Peter says, "Lord, where would we go? You have the words of eternal life. I would hope that I have given you enough here to say that the Eucharist is God's gift to us, that this was God's desire for us that He brought about. The gospel we heard today is the only public miracle in all four gospels, which shows how important it was and central to the first Christians. So, as we moderns continue the celebration of our Eucharist here today, the Mass, let us receive the Lord as He offers Himself to us and open ourselves to the transformative grace that Jesus wants to give us here. And as the week continues, as St. Augustine said, let us become the body of Christ for each other as a community.